Hi, I'm Owen.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the Dead Wargamer Society.
All right, Owen, so what have you been working on for the past couple weeks?
I'm just about done with the last bits of my Resolution army for painting. After that, I actually I got so excited about Battletech after our last episode that I actually bought a lot of the starter boxes. So I have the Clan Invasion box and the Game of Armor Combat box. The mechs from those are, I think, going to be the next things on my painting table. They're nice one-piece plastic models, some mold lines to clean up, but after that, it should be nice to get some paint on them. I haven't painted anything in that scale in a very long time, so excited for the challenge, but I think that's probably what I'm going to be doing this weekend. How about you, Chris?
Funny you mentioned Battletech, because, yeah, same thing. After the last episode, Bobby really pushed me to get into the Battletech game, the computer game. So after playing that a little bit, I went back and I already owned a bunch of the Battletech models that were just in kind of desperate need for some paint. So I went and painted up my fiance's Seafox mechs. So those are all nice and finished now, and just got to see where I go with my own stuff.
Nice, man. Hey, I actually, I meant to ask, have you ever tried any of the newer style paints from a company called Instar?
I have not.
So it's this really weird paint formulation. I've never seen anything quite like it. It is somewhere between the surface tension of an ink, but not quite the opacity. I've been using it a lot for eyes, but I've done some like initial tests using it for a black liner, and I love it. I have tried a lot of other options there, things like black ink, things like black oil paints, and they all have their pros and cons. This is by far my favorite. So I actually have some extra. I can send you a bottle, but I've been really impressed with it for stuff in that scale.
Awesome.
Yeah, and just to be clear to listeners, we're not getting paid for this promotion. It's a genuine statement of enthusiasm. So just making sure it's clear we're not going to start doing ads or anything. So yeah, today's topic is on playing Dead War games at conventions or running Dead War game events at conventions, and just some pointers based upon some personal experience. We're going to go through a couple caveats and then just pass on what we found to be either best practices or just some general advice that wasn't intuitive to us when we first started doing this stuff. So just kind of general disclaimer number one here, this is not going to be exhaustive, and a lot of these answers are going to be very game system dependent. So if I'm running a Dark Age event at TempleCon for 8 people, that might have very different concerns, very different sets of expectations than something like a 300-person Warhammer Fantasy event that lasts multiple days and is the purpose of a convention. So a lot of these are going to be targeted at the smaller events, and even there's going to be some discrepancies. So this is not exhaustive. This does not apply to everything, and we're not trying to pretend it applies to everything. Chris, any other caveats before we get rolling?
Yeah, primarily with the episode, we're going to be focusing on dead games and not resurrected war games, just because with a currently supported game, it's going to be a little bit different than a dead and unsupported game, especially if there's company support. It might change around the way that a lot of these kind of pointers work.
Yeah, and I guess one more general one here too. We're assuming that our listeners are familiar with war games, have been to conventions before, and we don't need to give the general convention etiquette pointers. Those are, if you are totally new in general, try to show up to events on time if you're scheduled for something. Don't be stinky. Definitely know the crowd. If you're showing up at 8 a.m. for something where the expectation is you're going to be present and awake, and it's, something that people are taking quite seriously, don't be blitzed. Obviously, if it's a 2 a.m. tournament with people you know and everyone's having a good time, probably less of a concern, but just use common sense.
The probable caveat to that caveat is that I think every game I've played with Owen at a con, I've been blitzed. I feel like that's the case. I'm not 100% sure. And granted, so some of that is just I guess, luck on Owen's side. But it just, you know, when we've happened to be at events, and a lot of them have happened to be tournaments for dead or unsupported games, they've been late night things, usually after I'm done working a shift at that con, and it is like vacation time for me. So, yep. Despite the trophies, there's really no reason why I should have any of those.
Well, the other thing I'll say here too is we're giving advice for people running events and for people attending events. You know, one of the first times Chris played in one of my events was at a Captain Con where I was running Dark Age events, and even though they were later in the evening, I tried to at least be sober enough to be functional. I only had like one beer prior to that at dinner. I did not begrudge any of my players that were looking to have a good time, because it's a convention. People are looking to hang out with their friends and enjoy themselves. And as long as they're not being inappropriate, I wouldn't take umbrage. But at the same time, you know, as the nominal adult in the room, you know, if you're running an event, try to keep it together. So cool. With that out of the way, we're just going to go through some things that we've learned from playing or from running Dead War Game events. And the first one's going to be, know the rules for the game system as best you can if you're really excited about it. So I travel a lot to play Dark Age. I've played Dark Age at large and small events, while it was supported, while it wasn't supported. And the biggest change I saw from the game when it was supported versus when it wasn't supported, even as a smaller game, was the general amount of rules memory people had after the game stopped being supported dropped precipitously. People are excited about Dead War games, but oftentimes it's something they're going to do to have fun with their friends or have some fun memories. They're not going to memorize the rules like they might something, a competitive war game where they're really trying to win a trophy. I've also found that a lot of times people running these events, and sometimes I've been guilty of this myself, don't know the rules the best. They're just really, really excited about the IP. So if a game is something that you're really, really, really super high on, definitely try to know the rules. And I don't mean that in a rules lawyery way, but I've certainly had, you know, been at the table next to me, someone has a question about a rule where people genuinely just don't remember how the rule works. And spoilers for Dead War games, a lot of times people don't bring their rule books. So, you know, having a good amount of game knowledge, where if you're really trying to be the champion for a game, you can step in and just try to help people remember how the game is actually played, goes a long way.
I mean, I would say on the bright sides of that point, people playing in these events don't really have a super high expectation of their opponents having the appropriate rules knowledge. So if you make a mistake, especially if it's, you know, a general, I made a mistake, not a I'm trying to game the system kind of thing, no one's going to like beat you up too bad about it. Like, no one is going to, you know, start yelling at you or have a major problem with you just because, you know, like, oh, I got confused in the way that cover works in this game compared to, you know, cover works in this other game. There's also a lot of times where with Dead War games, you'll see the organizers be running demos for the games that they're running actual events or tournaments for later in the evening during the morning. So some of the time you'll actually, and this has been true of Captain Con a lot, you'll have brand new players borrowing people's armies and playing in these events for games that, even though the game's dead, they've never played before. You know, they might have got in, you know, like a, you know, half hour, hour demo earlier that morning, and, you know, now they're showing up at an event with Captain Con and Dark Age. That's sometimes been a little hilarious, where, you know, like Owen and I, who have played in Immortals, and Owen, who's done particularly well in Immortals in the past, are coming up against people where it's like, yeah, I've never put this model on the table, and I just kind of sort of learned this game. There you're kind of like in that situation of like, all right, well, I would much rather have new players to this game and grow the community for this game than feel good about stomping someone incredibly.
Oh yeah. And I do want to just drive home. When I say, you know the rules to help the community, I'm not expecting, or I'm not saying that in a way where I expect someone to, you know, really hammer on people for, oh no, you didn't apply a -3 modifier. It's a -2 modifier. Like, how dare it's more of a, I've seen people have questions on, okay, I want to shoot into combat. How do I do that? And both players kind of are like, I don't know. So it's more just have a good familiarity with the rules so you can help other people out, because oftentimes you'll want to do things. And a lot of times players are informed by other games they play. So they might want to do something that's not allowed in the rules, but it's allowed in a more popular game that's currently supported that they do play. And there might be some confusion about that. So just having a general good set of game knowledge with someone in the event goes a long way. In an ideal situation, that's going to be the TO. But for a lot of these games, the people that are most passionate about it may not be people that are really hyped on the rules. There might be people that are really excited for the universe, really excited for the hobby aspect of the game. So having someone around that can help answer questions, I've found has gone a really long way. So Chris, what are some other pointers for people to have a good time playing or running games at conventions?
Being prepared for the late night games. So a lot of the times, especially at conventions where space is often at a premium, a lot of dead board games end up getting the late night shift, which for some people is a good thing, for some people is a bad thing. But like, definitely don't be surprised to see tournaments starting at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, sometimes 8 o'clock at night. There's some positives to that too. I think what's really nice about having tournaments that start later in the day is if you happen to be a vendor, or working the vendor hours or areas, or if you're volunteering to assist the con in one way or another, you have the opportunity to get into the event and play in the event without dropping any of those other responsibilities. So that can be a great thing. If you're just going to a convention to enjoy the convention, but to primarily play in these dead war games, but you notice, hey, you know, I'm going to Adepticon, but Eden starts at 7 o'clock at night, and then the next night, like Dark Age starts at 6 o'clock at night. Well, you know, the good news to that is that you actually get to sleep in during the day, which can be really beneficial, and you can eat a real breakfast instead of a power bar and water or lobby coffee. And those will make you feel way better. At the end of a convention, when you've actually managed to sleep more than like 4 hours a night and eat a couple of real meals, when you eventually get back to work after the convention's over, you generally feel like more of a person. So those are definitely benefits to kind of like the late shift kind of tournaments or events. Even though it, like, I think, you know, sometimes people get a little bit worried when they say, oh man, like it starts at 8 o'clock, like that's gonna be terrible, it's gonna be like an overnight shift, like, you know.
The one thing I would add to that, particularly from the side of running events, is if you are planning or are attempting to run a dead war game later in the evening, definitely have a feel for who your players are going to be and if there's any commonality in other games they're playing. So, for example, at Captain Con, I've run some later evening Dark Age games. And one thing I kept in mind was I knew a lot of the other players that were going to be attending were going to be playing in other games during the day. And a lot of those events ended sometime around 6. So I had the opportunity to start my event at 6:30, but I also knew that most of my players were going to be finishing something at 6 and are people and probably want to eat or, you know, maybe shower, relax for a minute before they start the next thing. So I offset the start of my event to be closer to 8 or 9, just because I knew, even though that was a later start, that it would be helpful to people so they weren't just going. You know, when I was younger, that was something I definitely could do. I find people that play dead war games tend to skew a little bit older. And, you know, as someone approaching his dotage, I definitely appreciate, you know, not going from 6 in the morning till 3 in the morning the next night at a convention. That's tough for me. So having a break and making sure your players have an opportunity to have a break. Too surprised if you have a social event as much as it is a wargaming event. And sometimes people meet new friends, get distracted by something else. They get really excited about something. And for dead games, sometimes people drop. I mean, that's true for any convention game, but you know, it sometimes if you've had a really, really long, do you want to start an event at 9 o'clock or do you want to take it easy then and you don't get quite the turnout you were hoping to based upon initial excitement? These things happen. It's normal. You know, and I would say event. If you've never run games at a convention before, sometimes you'll be asked, hey, how much table space do you need? Try to be respectful for that, because that's a finite resource. So if you really realistically think you're going to get four people, you might get more. Book for eight. Don't ask for 32 tables. That's taking up a lot of resources that could go to other people. And just try to keep that stuff in mind.
I still can't get over, because the last Adepticon that took place, it's not a dead war game, but my friend Paul was so excited about the Judgment tournament that was taking place on the last day of the con. So I'm working the vendor area and Paul comes in, and it's way past when the tournament had started. And he looks like death. Like his skin is like lighter colored than it should be. He's got like the super droopy eyes. I'm like, man, you know, like what happened? He's like, I had to drop out. I was like, oh, like, was there a reason? You know, like, did you just have like a rough night? And he's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I'm used to like normal pizza. You know, we had gotten some Chicago deep dish and, you know, left it out on the counter. And a few hours later, after drinking in games, I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to eat some more pizza.
Oh, no.
And ate, you know, the like essentially a meat and sauce casserole that had been sitting out on a hotel counter for like 4 hours. Oh. And needless to say, had some gastric distress.
yeah.
So yeah, sometimes even with the best of intentions, even with people who want to play your game really, really bad, it's a convention. Stuff will happen. It might end up poorly. And there's, you know, there's really not much that you can do about that. On the brighter side of the low turnouts, it's not always a bad thing. Like sometimes with a smaller crowd for a tournament, like number one, that means your tournament's going to take less time. So when you're looking at a tournament that's starting at 8 o'clock at night, especially for the games that are more skirmish style, like Dark Ages, if you only get like X amount of people, like sometimes that's only going to take two or three rounds. Like you might be done before midnight, which is pretty nice. You know, you go in, you get your games, you enjoy your time, and you still get to sleep. You know, it's not like going back to those old school midnight full length tournaments of War Machine that used to take place at TempleCon, where you started at 12 and you ended at 8 in the morning. You know, yep. Which while, you know, getting Denny's some more business was fairly brutal to go through. The other thing too with the later night, like kind of lower turnout things, is that sometimes like it ends up giving more of a family like atmosphere. You know, when you only have 6 to 8 people in a tournament, you tend to bond a little bit more. It's a smaller group. It's a little bit more manageable than when you have a 68 person team tournament. So you'll see more stuff like people sharing booze and people sharing snacks, people hanging out before and after the event, people, you know, making new friends and, you know, connecting for future events. And lastly, one of the things that a lot of people overlook about stuff is when you have a tournament that you have more space for than you need, that means you have more space to spread out. So you're not like storing your army tourney tray under the table and trying to like protect it and not stomp on your models. You're not like trying to roll dice on top of each other. There's usually like you might even have a table separating each table of people, at which point you can really just spread out and get comfortable.
Yep.
And yeah, like that is to me, and one of the things I think is the best about like the Nova Open is they actually put table dividers between their tables at a lot of, for a lot of their game rooms, and that makes a tremendous difference. Like having a place to put cards, markers, tokens, drinks, snacks, like anything. Yep. makes life just so much better than when you are like literally just like asses to elbows in a space and like God knows where you can like you have your pen like stuck behind your ear, you're like putting dice in your pocket just so you can keep track of them.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean there's been cons where I've had like my like bottles of beer in my back pockets, like open bottles of beer, because like it's like what you do, like otherwise you're gonna lose it, someone's gonna drink it by mistake. Like no one's really pulling beer out of my back pocket beyond like really close friends.
So I'm glad to know we're close friends, Chris. Yeah, I mean, I'm just echoing that. The last Captain Con that you and I both went to, i.e. the last Captain Con, Dan Start's event for Dark Age, I think was slated for 8:39. We got a late start. We had six people. I think we did two, maybe three rounds. It was super relaxed. It was, you know, everyone got to know each other. They didn't already know each other. Nobody was stressed. Everyone had a good time. I think we were done with that by what, you know, 12:30? They were slated to go to like 2 a.m. and it was definitely like a nice way, low stress way to end. I think that was either Friday or Saturday night at the convention, where it wasn't going till 4 a.m. So you're not trying to get out of there on zero sleep. I think we had extra tables, so we were able to lend some space to the people that were playing in a Song of Ice and Fire tournament too. We were able to lend some terrain. It ended up being a really kind of fun, like you said, family atmosphere. And it was nice to meet some people I didn't know because of that, that I think if things were a little bit more congested or stressed, maybe I wouldn't have had the opportunity to sit down and have conversations with them. So I definitely had a really good time doing that. And that type of event, something I'm excited to attend in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think with that event too, that was an event where it went two rounds, and it could have gone three. If it had been like a supported game or a very competitive event, I think it would have. But you and Leah ended up in the top bracket. And you had basically said at that point, like, hey, you know, like, I've had a lot of fun in my games. Leah, like, if you want to take first, like, you can have it. Like, I'll cede the prize and this and that, you know, like, and it's totally fine. And everybody was kind of on board with that, of just like, hey, I'm good with this event being over. You know, I don't feel the need to grind out to the top, you know, because, like, at that point, you know, like, even if you lost, you had so many objective points that, like, it, you know, like, I think you and I had just, like, rocketed with our points for the first two rounds. So, like, you know, if I had done the third round, I might have taken second instead of third, you know, like, but it didn't really matter, you know, like,
yeah.
We played and we had fun. And that's what we were both there. Like, was to have a good time, to get to play a game that we don't get to play on a regular basis, you know, and going two rounds and enjoying that, and then getting to hang out afterwards, as opposed to grinding out a third round to, you know, advance our placings by one point. Like, you know, like, it was a nice thing to do. And it's not something that you typically see in, you know, like, if you go out to, like, a Warhammer tournament or a War Machine tournament, there's never going to be a time where people are just like, you know what, like, screw it, I'll take second instead of first. Like, it's fine. It'll be okay. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that was an event, too, where, and I like Leah a lot, but she's not as knowledgeable for the game. And she was kind of like, well, like, if I have to play Owen, so, and it was like, well, like, I don't need a prize. Like, I don't, the prize for that event was a 3D printed army. So I was happy to give that to her. I don't need the models. It was nice to have a newer player have the opportunity to get the models. And that was also something where we pulled, it wasn't just Lee and I being like, nah, we're not going to do it. It was like, hey, do people want to do another round, or do people, you know, want to just like break now? Like, is everyone good? And it was newer players, and they're kind of like, yeah, it's getting late. I don't really know that I want to go till like 2-3 a.m. So yeah, let's just call it. Obviously, there's going to be events where people are like, no, I don't want to end early. Like, this is really fun. I want to keep going. And I think if that had been the atmosphere, we would have kept going. Speaking of Captain Con 2019, one of the things I did that I found helpful, and I always do for deck games that I go to play, is bring any extra hard-to-find gubbins that you have. Things like if there's acrylic templates for a game that someone would have to, like, go to a printer to make, like, paper copies of them cut out for a game. If you have extras of those, bring them. If there's a special type of secondary objective, if there's special cards, if you have extras, bring them. People oftentimes will forget these small little things, but they can be very important for the game you're playing. So, for example, in Dark Age, there are a handful of templates that a few companies have made acrylic solutions for. There's also secondary objectives, which are 50-millimeter bases that you need to play different scenarios. And there's secondary objective cards, which are essential for playing the game, in my opinion, because they're a secondary win condition or sometimes a primary win condition. I had, I think, two extra decks, and I was still actually one of my extra templates. So it definitely definitely went a long way to helping make sure the event could go off and people could be comfortable playing. So if you have people sharing, definitely bring those and help the community out.
I think that's a huge, huge point, especially because, again, people might be borrowing armies. Can they throw their St. Isaac force in their bag? They might forget that you need some stream and spray templates to make it work properly. And the same goes for like the secondary objective decks. And these are things that aren't going to be really just easily accessible in the vending room. And Skabout is dice. If you are important, sets of templates and two secondary decks and all my models and forgot to bring D20s.
Yep.
And at a lot of conventions, you know, namely conventions where like Chessex isn't there, there's no real D20 pack. And unless you get really lucky and there's a vendor that just has like, you know, a big bowl of dice and like, you know, get a die for a dollar, you just reach in and pick whatever and play with like a smorgasbord of what where you were both fine, you're stuck buying RPG sets at like $7 to $10 a pop to get a single D20 in each one.
So, yep.
That can be incredibly brutal. And especially if you need like three or four, what have you, definitely remember to bring dice. Also, you know, it's a convention. It is really easy to lose dice at a convention. They go off the table. That's it. Like, forget about it. It's lost.
it's in Narnia.
Yeah, and I also personally like always having enough dice to roll myself. I also like having dice that are different colored from my opponents to make, you know, identification a little bit easier. So considering that players might not have access to dice, I will usually bring at least two or three different colors of multiple dice if I'm planning on playing in a Dead War Games event. I think the last Captain Con I went to, I brought, you know, a set of purple, a set of like Pepto-Bismol pink, and like a set of like rust colored ones. And it just happened to be that two other players needed D20s. And it all just worked out for the best. You know, it's something that's so small and fairly inexpensive. And most of us have more dice than we'll ever use at home that like it just pays to be prepared. So lastly, like kind of thinking about conventions and everything else is an easy kind of thing to get into, especially if you're used to playing in supported war games, is to kind of limit yourself to playing in events. I definitely did that for my first few years playing in War Machine conventions was that, you know, I would get into the loading queue with everyone else and fight for spots in all of the tournaments. So that at conventions, I would always have events to play in, you know, and I'd basically print my itinerary before, you know, the convention started. Be like, all right, well, you know, Thursday, there's this event at 1 o'clock. Friday, I have this one in the morning. I have this one at night. You know, Saturday, I have this one in the morning. I have this one at night. And this way, I felt like I was getting the most kind of bang for my buck at conventions. Number one is Dead War Games are most likely not going to have every single time slot of every single day full. You're not really going to be able to go to an Adepticon or a Captain Con and play in a Dead War Game event every minute of every day. And that's not a bad thing. Number one is it gives you more flexibility to enjoy the con the way that you want to. You know, like if you want to sleep in, great. You know, if you want to browse the vendor hall at these hours, you know, great. Like, but more importantly, pickup games are pretty common in a convention atmosphere, especially for Dead War Games. When you look at like a lot of the Facebook groups for Dead War Games, you have people posting up on a pretty regular basis like, hey, going to, you know, Adepticon, I'm going to have these two Eden armies with me. Some people even be like, hey, I'm just playing Eden at this con. I'm going to have two armies, a box of terrain, a game mat, and like this and that, you know, and you can pretty much set up just like work that out and play some fun pickup games that you're really not going to be able to get around your hometown unless you are incredibly blessed. With that being said, if you have like room in your bag, if you have room in your A case or your battle foam, or your plastic Tupperware stuffed with paper towels because you're a monster, bring an extra army. You know, especially if you're playing, if you want to play a dead war game, bring the extra army, bring a second player's worth of stuff. You might find someone wandering around a convention hall looking for something to do. And now you have the opportunity to teach them Dark Age. You know, you have the opportunity to find someone new to get into your favorite dead game. And usually people are pretty kind of like excited about that. If you can find an empty table, especially, which can sometimes be tough. One of the things that I've found really helpful is before you go to the convention, print up a sign, you know, try to be clever. Doesn't always work for me, but like, you know, try to just, you know, make it clear that you're offering games. You know, if you have a sign that like, hey, free games, you know, hey, check out Eden, you know, check out Dark Age, especially if you can set up your models on the table and just kind of have everything ready to go. So all the person needs to do is sit down and you kind of run them through the game. It's a pretty you'll definitely be playing games pretty much throughout the day.
Yeah, I would even add to that what I've been surprised at, because to me at least this has been a newer phenomenon, is a lot of times in the evening different social groups will have meetup events where people can show up and just kind of have free play. So there's a few podcasts I'm keen on that are will have a night, or YouTube channels that will have a night, and within those communities you might even want to post in their events, hey, you know, I'm a big fan of this game, where there's only one event for this at Adepticon or Captain Con or insert convention name here. Does anybody want to get some pickup games in just to have a friendly game? People, particularly if they're passionate about Dead War games, will be really excited for that kind of stuff. And I've been surprised at the number of times where I've, you know, met people via that have then become people that also, you know, I can talk to passionately about the game and we can become online friends. There's a lot more, at least in my opinion, open play encouraged at conventions. I've seen this increase pretty regularly since I've been going to conventions in the late, early 2000s, beginning of 2010s. You look at the upstairs pavilion area at Adepticon, particularly in the evening, there's just a ton of open play tables and people playing whatever. I've seen similar stuff at Captain Con, whether it's officially sanctioned open play or just, hey, they have a lot of space and there's not always an event running on the tables. You're usually able to find some place to play games. Last but not least, with regards to events, this may not be obvious to people that are new to doing this. If a dead war game has an event, and let's say there's only 8 slots, and online it looks like those 8 slots are filled, reach out to the organizer. You might be surprised that they're able to get additional capacity to help you out. So definitely keep that in mind. It never hurts to ask. And the number of times where, well, yeah, you know, we only signed up for 8, but space isn't a problem. Or, well, there's a high chance we're going to lose people. Yeah, definitely plan to show up. Don't get discouraged if there's a limited number of spots you're not able to get one. Chris and I had that with the Eden event that was supposed to be run at Adepticon 2020, and the organizers were super, super, super permissive. So definitely be aware that even if an event is capped off, that's definitely not the end of the story. And even if you can't get into it, there's other ways you can get games at conventions.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's something too that really comes up is in specifically with that Eden event was that the tournament organizer, who is only going to play in the tournament if there was a buy, had basically said like, hey, if it's totally maxed out, like still come by. And we'll play some games, you know, like, yep. So you and I can play Eden while this is going on. And that was pretty neat. But also, like we've already talked about, people drop out of tournaments on a pretty regular basis. It's kind of just like it's part of life at this point, you know, and don't like get bummed out. There is definitely when Dark Age was still supported. I remember there was a tournament at PAX Unplugged and it was marked as sold out. But this one gaming group that was supposed to come out from Pennsylvania had 7 of 8 spots in an 8-person tournament.
Whew.
And they didn't show up. So, I won the tournament by playing Brian Steele 3 times. which is not a bad thing. I'm super glad I got to beat Brian multiple times. It made me feel good. But the sad part was the next day there were people involved in the next day's tournament and they're like, yeah, you know, we would have came out yesterday, but we saw it was all sold out, so we decided to go get cheesesteaks instead. It's just like, man, you know, this could have been a four-person tournament if you guys had just shown up, and you could have gotten more nights of games in. And I definitely think that happens at, like, a lot. Like, definitely show up. You know, there's a really good chance you get involved in the event. And even if you don't, there's a really good chance that you'll still be able to play, or you might even be in the same situation with someone else who's there and you guys can play together. Like, there's a lot of opportunities for games. Don't get like down and be like, oh man, it's sold out. Like, I'm just screw it. Like, I'm going to go get cheesesteaks. Like, not going to work out.
Don't be hating on cheesesteaks, Chris. I mean, come on.
No, I do really thoroughly enjoy a good cheesesteak. But like, given the choice between playing in a fun event or getting games in and eating cheesesteaks, I will most likely choose gaming and then cheesesteaks rather than cheesesteaks instead of gaming. Like, well, cheesesteak places are open until like 2-3 in the morning, man. Like, you can eat cheesesteaks anytime.
I'm just saying, between you hating on Scrapple and now cheese, I think we're just never going to be able to set foot in Pittsburgh again.
To be fair, I don't hate on Scrapple. I just simply have stated that pork roll is a better alternative. Like, when compared to pork products that are slightly also non-pork products incorporated into them and will most likely kill you, pork roll is the better option. It's also way easier to cook, and it has more uses, but, you know, I'm also from Jersey, so it's kind of in the blood at this point.
As someone from the greater Boston area, I don't have a fight other than to say that your chowder is terrible, and you should all feel...
Again, you know, New Jersey doesn't have chowder? Like, I don't know who exactly you're talking to at this point.
New York, New Jersey.
Like, your non-existent chowder sucks, man. Like, I guess.
Oh, mercy.
Anywho, moving along before we get too deep into cultural food debates, or we start getting hate mail about pizza. The bottom line with conventions is, when it all comes down to it, conventions are my favorite part of gaming. More so than painting, more so than local games. It is just such a great opportunity to intermingle with a gigantic nerd family, play games, eat good food, or eat terrible food that is still tasty because you're starving. Travel to new areas of the country, and just in general, like, get exposed to new things and make new friends. It's just such a terrific thing. Like, if you have not been to a convention, you know, definitely give it a shot. There's so many out there. And each one, like, has its own positive, like, thing going for it, you know. Captain Con is a little bit of a smaller convention, but it has just a great pricing scheme. You pay one price, you can do whatever you want. You know, there's no additional ticket prices. There's no other craziness going on. There's some good food options nearby. And just casual play is a major thing. Dead War Games are definitely a major thing there. Dark mm-hmm. Age, Relic Knights. They've been doing a Relic Knights tournament every single year since the game first released, which still blows my mind. Like, it brings people like out of the woodwork for this game that just seems to keep trying to start up and it not going well for them. But you know, and then you have things like Adepticon, where Adepticon is just huge. It's gigantic and it's all war games. It's, you know, there's not like a lot of the RPG stuff going on or some other stuff. It is just all of the war games. There are dead war games all over the place. There's current war games. There is the vendor hall to rival vendor halls, of just pretty much anything you could like ever think of and ask for in the gaming world. You know, like, you can get a tapestry that shows your family's lineage in Warhammer. Like, the, you know, like, it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, just the vendor area there is so huge. Like, just going back and forth, you could spend a day just shopping. I know people who have literally just gone to Adepticon one day. It's like, well, what are you here for? I'm just here to shop. Like, I'm not even playing any games. Like, I had Saturday, you know, I had this Saturday off. I drove up from wherever. I'm shopping all day long, and then I'm going home. And it's like, okay, you know, but, and yeah, and Nova down in around the DC area every summer is like primarily an event and competition thing. They also have some of the most interesting food trucks sitting outside for it now. That's pretty sweet. and they do a lot of like integrated things too, which is pretty cool, where they have like the Geek Nation tours, where if you want to go down and you want to do more things than just game, like they'll take you in and you can see the monuments. You can go to the Smithsonian. My fiance and I, we used to basically plan on going down like a day early most of the time, or staying a day later, just so we could hit up like the DC Zoo, you know, and go see some pandas. And the con, I think, has really like kind of appreciated that, in that they offer their hotel room discount for usually like the week before and the week after the con. So like, if you want to make it into just a vacation and not just a gaming experience, you have that opportunity. So, and this is just like scratching the surface. There are cons that take place all over the world. You know, like there's cons that take place in Canada, like the Southern Ontario Open. There are cons that happen on the, you know, in the middle of America. You know, you have your Muse on Con, the Las Vegas Open. Theoretically, Gen Con is a thing. I have not been to it, but
really,
yeah, I've actually never been to Gen Con.
Huh. Wow, I am surprised.
A lot of people are. To be fair, a lot of the times I'm going to cons where I can at least pay for my expenses by being a vendor. And they like keep costs down and stuff. And a lot of the companies I have done work for or do work for don't really have much of a presence at Gen Con. And part of that's due to just a lot of the companies I do stuff for being primarily wargaming companies, as opposed to more general nerd related companies. And I think, you know, while Gen Con does have a wargaming presence, it is a huge convention of all assorted nerdery, and can make it a little bit tougher to justify the vend costs for some of these companies to be at these places.
I would add to that Gen Con has changed a lot in the past decade. I think the first one I went to was in 2009, and then I went throughout grad school because I lived in Indiana, and what the heck, I can drive in every day and not spend multi-thousand dollars to get a hotel room. Yeah. It definitely, the board game revolution, the comparative popularity of RPGs has definitely changed the game. I think the cost of vend has gone up, and I think war games have kind of got pushed by the side. I think most major, even current war games, don't hold their national championships there anymore. Unlike, 15 years ago, the major War Machine tournament was there, the major Dark Age tournament was there, on and on and on and on. On that note, I know from our Anchor analytics that our audience tends to skew older. The only thing I would add to what you said was that conventions culturally have changed a lot in the past decade. If you went to conventions a lot in the early 2000s or late 90s, your impression of them would probably be, a bunch of sweaty, poor hygienic nerds in college, sitting together in a room, probably not the most fun or exciting thing in the world. I think convention culture has changed a lot, and obviously every con has a different culture. You go to Captain Con, it's a very different environment than Adepticon, than Origins, mm-hmm. than Dragonfall. Insert convention name here. They're all going to do slightly different things, but I would say kind of in general, as someone that's been to a lot of these different conventions, the expectations, the social culture has kind of grown up. It tends to be a lot of people bringing their families. And I would say the average participant in general is a bit older than they were in the early 2000s. So if you haven't been in a while and you had a bad experience, you know, in the early 2000s, don't let that scare you away from trying to come out to one these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's you know, all points that we didn't really go into that I've heard numerous times, like on other podcasts or even just like people, you know, who used to write in forums about like convention guidelines over the past 10 years has been, you know, all of the basics that are focused on a lot of the just basic human interaction of like the, hey, we want to be invited back to this convention center next year or this hotel next year. Like, you know, we want to increase like a popular or positive impression of what we do. So like try to stick to some like guidelines, you know, there I always forget like if it's the 3-2-1 rule or something like that. Like typically you're trying to get at least one shower a day, you know, you're trying to eat it. Like you're trying to eat at least two meals and you're trying to get at least 3 hours of sleep a night. That can be a little bit rough. I generally prefer like 4 hours of sleep a night to three, but you know, your mileage may vary. So there's been a lot said about stuff like that. And I think, you know, like everything else and like a lot of the things we've covered before and how to grow your community and how to keep like support for the dead games alive. Like really, you know, a convention is a very important part of that of like, hey, if you show up to a convention, you know, and you're running demos for a game, you know, you are most likely going to have way more success, you know, if you're friendly, if you smell good, you know, like if you can make, you know, basic conversation with someone because you haven't been up for 48 hours straight, you're going to have a much easier time than, you know, if you haven't showered in 3 days and, you know, all you've eaten is Funyuns all weekend long.
Yeah, I would add to that too, like beyond just basic hygiene, which, I mean, it's kind of a point. In my experience, that's not the majority of people that attend conventions. I mean, of course, stuff happens. There's a stereotype for a reason. I would say the bigger one that's probably more wargaming specific is think about how you behave at a convention because other people are watching. The advantage of a convention is that you might get people excited about a game you're excited about if you look like you're having a good time. So I've definitely been to conventions, and I'm not going to name names here, but there's been a game I'm interested in, and I've been playing an event, and there's a big event for that game, and the TO is screaming at people. People are throwing their dice. I don't want anything to do with that. So like, and to some extent, you can't control other people, but as a tournament organizer, you can definitely set the tone. As another player, you can definitely set the tone. So just keep that in mind when you're bringing a community together. A community that looks like they're having a good time is going to attract a heck of a lot more people than a community where people look like they're angry, because no one wants to spend a bunch of money and travel to go be angry. They can do that from the comfort of their home. That's why we have the internet. Cool. Anything else, Chris?
I think we've covered all of the basics, you know, beyond what to expect, what to do for a con. If you're interested in going to a con for the first time, definitely just Google it.
Yeah.
That's what I did before my first con, because I had no idea what to expect. And I'm glad I did. You know, the basics are definitely covered online like a million and two times, from, you know, making sure that you stay hydrated so you don't feel sick, making sure, you know, you wear good fitting sneakers because you're going to walk a lot. And, you know, definitely, you know what, as exciting as it does get to be in the vendor area and have all this nerd stuff available and be able to shell out crap tons of money on fun nerd stuff, like, set a little time aside and a little money aside. Definitely budget out to enjoy local cuisine and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's so many awesome places out there. And especially if you get lucky enough where you can kind of either meet up with a local, you know, or become friends with a gamer who's like either been there for a few times or been a local for a bit. Like, you end up getting some stuff that is just truly phenomenal. And you would just never, ever, ever expect. You know, like I've been to Adepticon and eaten the greatest like authentic Chinese food I've ever eaten in my life in the outskirts of Chicago, you know, which is not what I would expect coming from like the Jersey and New York area. Like, That is not a sentence that I thought I'd be processing, you know, I mean, or even if it's stereotypical, you know, going to St. Louis and then finding out that, yeah, Salt and Smoke does have some of the greatest barbecue out there. Like, and it's famous for a reason. Yep. And yeah, getting the meat sweats, you know, putting that side aside, you know, like, be human, enjoy your time. Like, realize that, you know, like, as much, like, I think that's the biggest lesson I've gotten out of cons is, like, as much as I want to feel like I'm getting my money worth out of it and, you know, basically milking every, you know, every minute of con out of the convention that I can, I have felt so much better taking that little bit of time to, like, decompress a little bit, pulling away a little bit, and just enjoying some of the things that are available in the area. So, yeah, that probably covers just about everything.
Cool. You heard it here first. We have the definitive guide on convention. On that note, I'm Owen.
And I'm Chris.
We'll see you next time. Intro music is Axe to Mouth by Pulp 45, which is Owen's old band. Outro music is Control My Fate by Ataraxia, which is Chris's old band. All songs used with permission. If you like what you hear, please like or subscribe. Thanks.